The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
1 Samuel chapter number 25. Continue our preaching series regarding David, a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 25, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Well, that was great singing this morning. When we were singing that last chorus, I just stopped and listened, and it really spoke to my heart. Really, really, you really came and sang today. Boy, that's so nice. It's nice to be. You ever been in a church that hardly anybody sings? Boy, that's bad. It is really bad. You know, if they sing so quiet that you could probably hear the church mouse above the congregation. But that was really good singing. And you did a great job. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The Bible says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, 'Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David.' And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?' So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, 'Gird ye on every man his sword.' And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now the preaching of the word. We pray for these next several minutes that you would help us, Lord, even help us as an act of worship, as to examine the scriptures thoughtfully. Help us as an act of worship to listen to the message as it's preached, and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as the word goes forth. To be attentive. Help us to block out the cares of the day. And just again for these next several minutes to hear what you have for us. And I ask that you'd help me as I preach the message this morning. Use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel. Despite my own weaknesses, my own shortcomings and failures. But I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, that your grace would be upon me. Your words would come forth, that they would be profitable to each of us. And Lord, if there be one here today that has never received Christ as their Savior, We would pray, Holy Spirit, you'd move upon their heart. You would convict them of their sin, their sinful nature. You would convince them of their need of Christ. And they would be converted today. Lord, without you I can do nothing. For you are the vine and we are the branches. And so I come again and I ask your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme, or the title to the message on your handout, if you noticed, it's actually found in verse 29 of this chapter, and we'll get to that. Just go ahead and turn and look at verse 29. The Bible says here, and this is actually Abigail that's speaking to David, "Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God." Well, that's an ancient phrase. In fact, when I was doing some reading, I learned this, that on many Jewish tombs, this verse is found. In fact, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Often on Jewish tombs, these words are engraved. Here we have laid the body, trusting the soul is bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord. And the idea behind that verse is just as if you would take something precious and you would bind it up to protect it. If you were with us a few weeks ago when David went to the city of Nob and he talked to the high priest and he asked the high priest if he had a sword, and he did have a sword. Anybody remember whose sword that was? Anybody? It was Goliath's sword, and it was wrapped up. It was bound up as if it was something that was precious there. And so, when we think about that, your life and my life as believers, we are bound up in the Lord. He cares about us. We're precious in the eyes of God. Would you say that? Amen? I mean, you are. I mean, God didn't send His Son Jesus Christ to die on an old rugged cross and save you from your sin if He didn't think you were precious. He didn't give up His very best for all of your wrongs and all of your sin and all of your transgression if you were not precious in the eyes of the Lord. But all through life we're precious, and David is precious in the eyes of the Lord. David, as we have talked about through this series of messages, the Scriptures tell us that he is a man after God's own heart. And David has been anointed by God to be the next king in Israel. Saul is still the king, of course, and Saul is hunting David down, trying to kill David. And all through these experiences, we see David as a young man and as a shepherd boy. Just it seems like he's fearless, and he kills Goliath. He seems like he's fearless. And then all of a sudden, we see a spirit of fear take over David, and God uses Saul's son, Jonathan, to be an encouragement to David and to strengthen David's hand in the Lord. And we see the courage of David once again developing. And each and every experience in David's life is preparing David to be the next king. And this is an experience here. We see David learning the importance of inquiring of the Lord and seeing what the Lord would have him to do. We saw last week in last week's message when David was in the city of Nob, and he really lied to the high priest there and ended up that the 85 priests and their families and their children were all killed, and David took responsibility for that. He realized that he had erred. And now there's another situation in David's life, and in each of these, I think you and I, we can learn tremendous lessons in our own lives. And if you just notice the short paragraph I put for you on the handout, this particular episode in David's life, it teaches us, it really does, that it doesn't matter how long you and I have been saved, how long you and I have been Christians, how long you and I have been on the Christian path, how many temptations you've overcome, how many times you've, by God's grace, defeated sin in one area or the other, it can strike and it can crush us at any moment in our lives. We should always remember that. And we'll see that as we study through the life of David. Now, There are three real characters in this account. There's Nabal, there's Abigail, and there's David. Now, Nabal's an interesting fellow, the Bible tells us. Look at verse 3. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. Later on in the scriptures, it tells us that his name, it actually meant foolish. And he was very foolish. But it describes the type of man that Nabal was. And it kind of gives us an idea of him. Now, before we get into that, let me ask you this question this morning. Have you ever really been angry? I mean, really angry. I don't mean just a little bit angry, like your order at McDonald's is taking a little bit too long. Although that can make some people pretty angry, amen? I mean really angry. Not irritated or aggravated. Not just miffed. But I mean hit the ceiling angry. Fly into a rage angry. I wasn't asking for any amens, but maybe there's some amens in your heart. I think most people at some point, and there may be a few, but most people, sometimes there's been some point where they've just been angry out of control. You know, that's about to happen to David here. And we're going to see how God uses Abigail, who's really a picture of the Holy Spirit, to prevent David from flying into a rage and doing something that he wished that he had never done. So let's get back to Nabal. And look at verse 3 again. Nabal, he's churlish. You know what churlish means? That's a word we don't use that often. But to be churlish, it means to be foolish. It means to be rude. This man's a rude man. His whole life is just, he's just rude to everybody. In fact, later on in the scriptures, his own servants call him the son of Belial. That means he's the son of the, he's like the devil, they say. This is his characteristic. He's just a rude guy. That word churlish, it means to be surly, to be unfeeling. It means to be miserly when you study that word out. And he's a boisterous man. And he's ill-bred. That's the kind of man he is. And you would think that his prosperity would have changed that. Because the Bible does tell us that he is a prosperous man in verse 6. He lives in prosperity. But despite that, he's just a rude, surly, unfeeling, miserly, boisterous, ill-bred man. That's why we're reminded in the scriptures, amen, that we've brought nothing into this world and we can carry nothing out. And so the Bible says there that godliness with what? What does it say? Godliness with? Yeah, godliness with contentment. Say that for me, will you? Godliness with? Yeah, is great gain. So we learn that prosperity doesn't necessarily bring contentment. Not in Nabal's case, anyhow. We learned that in our study of the book of Ecclesiastes as well that we just finished up. But he's not only churlish, he's evil. You'd think churlish would be enough. But he's also evil. And you study that word out, it means he's hideous. He's a bad guy. He lacks any kind of standards. He's immoral. That's what the word evil means in the Hebrew when you study it. He's unethical. He has foul speech. He has a negative attitude about everything. Whew. He's a bad guy. Wouldn't you say, amen? Have you ever met anybody like that? Yeah. Are you sitting next to... No, I don't want to say that. Well, so you understand what's happened here. David is being hunted down by King Saul. And so David, he hears about Nabal. He hears about his prosperity. Now, he doesn't realize that Nabal has these characteristics. But he needs food. He's got 600 men that are with him and their families. And so he says to his men, he says, why don't you go to this guy Nabal and see if we can get some sheep from him and some provisions for everyone. Just go ahead and tell them we've treated them well. Apparently David's men had met Nabal's shepherds out and about. And we understand Nabal's a very prosperous man. He has huge flocks. He probably has a multitude of flocks and shepherds. And elsewhere in the scriptures it tells us that David's men, they stood between Nabal's shepherds and those that would want to do Nabal's shepherds harm, as if they actually protected them. They had done them, but they didn't know them, but they did the right thing. And so David sends these young men. He says, you go and ask them. And see, look at verse 8. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Verse 7. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. These are David's men conveying this to Nabal. Neither were there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your men, he says to Nabal. They'll show thee. Wherefore the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So in verse 9, they came to David. They didn't demand. They made a request. They didn't say, Nabal, you either give us these or we're going to take them. They said, Nabal, we've come to you. David has sent us. We would like, if you would, to... We've protected your people. We didn't harm them. We didn't steal from you. We're coming honorably. Could you please give us some of your sheep? Well, Nabal in verse 10, he's indignant. He said, who's David? Now, he knew who David was. Everybody knew who David was. Who's David in verse 10? There's a lot of people that are breaking away today. Why should I give anything to anybody? And so David's men in verse 12, they went back to David. And David hears of this. And David, he's angry. He is ticked off angry. He is, get your swords, we're going to visit Nabal angry. And give me my sword, I'm going with you. He had every intention, I believe, to kill Nabal. And to just take what he wanted. And so in this message, what I really want to, I've given you on an outline, it's pretty basic. There's four or five voices here. Here's the voice of rage. That's why I asked you, is there any time in your own life where, you know, you've just reached that point where you're just so angry? You know, David probably thought, you know, I treated him well. I mean, have you ever had someone that you treated them well, you did right by them, and you tried your very best, and then they in turn turn around, and for lack of a better term, they kind of just stab you right in the back. And that's how David felt here. And he's just so angry. I'm going to kill him! And it's the voice of rage. He's out of control. And let's not forget, Ethan taught a lesson in Sunday school today on alcohol and drunkenness. Let's not forget that anger is a sin also. And being out of control and in a rage. And it was going to lead in David's life to even a greater sin. It was going to lead to murder. So he's angry. Now the Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I was kind of amazed as I thought about this and studied this through. I didn't preach to you out of chapter number 23, but I have mentioned it to you. That's when David is hiding in the cave, and Saul enters into the cave, and Saul is trying to kill David. And if you remember, Saul, David is right there. In fact, David's men said, why don't you just go ahead and kill him? And David said, no, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I found it amazing how much patience David had with King Saul and how little patience David had with Nabal. I mean, Saul's trying to kill him. All Nabal said is, you can't have any of my sheep. But don't we sometimes find that? Isn't it kind of interesting sometimes how we have a lot of patience with somebody else's kids? All of our kids are skiers. We only taught Ethan and Josh how to ski. Shelly and I had a unique approach. And then we figured it would be better off if somebody else taught our kids how to ski. I'll just leave it at that. But isn't that true? Or fellows at work, you're so much more patient with the people that you work with sometimes, and then you come home and you have no patience with your wife? I don't want to let the ladies off the hook, but ladies, can it go the opposite way too, can't it? You're patient with friends and coworkers, but you come home and your husband, you're ready to kill him. Not literally speaking. So much so with David's life, he is in a rage and he's under the control of his flesh. And so the Bible tells us that he gathers these 400 men, 200 stayed back, and they take off. Now let's pick it up in verse 14, because now we're introduced to Abigail, Nabal's wife. She is the exact opposite of Nabal. In fact, the name Abigail, it means the joy or exaltation of my father. And you wonder, don't you, how does Abigail ever get married to Nabal? It must have been one of those prearranged marriages, amen? Because they are like the opposite. And you really feel, oh, this poor woman married to this guy. But one of the young men, verse 14, told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." He says, "Abigail, David sent these men. They came and paid respect to your husband, and he just railed on them." That word "rail," that's not a good word. He gave him a hard time. We saw that. But Abigail is beginning here to see the voice of reason. And I mentioned to you, Abigail, in my mind, she's a real picture of the Holy Spirit. When you and I, when we begin to get into a rage or get anger out of control, even before it gets to that flying out of control, the Spirit of God is there to be the voice of reason in our life. And Abigail is that voice. And they said to Abigail, verse 15, "But the men, they were good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall," he says in verse 16, "between us both night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep." In other words, they were there, they protected us at night. These were good fellows, Abigail. "Now therefore, know and consider what they will do, for the evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." That's what that means. He is a child of the devil. "You can't even talk to Nabal," they said. And David's on his way. He's riding hard. And now we see Abigail. Verse 18, "She made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep already dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, 'Go on before me, behold, I come to you.' But she told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so when she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her and she met them." So here comes David in one direction, and Abigail sends the men with all of these provisions. And she's going to reason with David. She, in a real sense, is offering up a peace offering to David here. And David's impressed when he meets up with them. But Abigail knows that she's going to need to speak with him and to calm him down. And I want to tell you, that's what the Lord does for us. The Holy Spirit will do for us when we really get out of control angry, and even when we're not really out of control angry. Listen, really out of control anger doesn't always just hit us. It usually starts with just being a little bit miffed. In some ways, it's like Ethan, as he taught in Sunday school about drunkenness. Drunkenness doesn't start with one glass of wine. You build upon it and build upon it and build upon it. Like the writer of Hebrews said, when you allow bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart to dwell there and allow it to kind of percolate, it goes from just a little bit of anger to a lot more anger to just out of control. Now, one of the things we noticed here is that David, in this instance, he doesn't stop and inquire of the Lord, did he? Now, last Sunday's message, we saw him do that. He stopped and he inquired of the Lord. But in this instance, he's forgotten that lesson already. And he's just moving forward. He is allowing his feelings to take control of him, and off he goes. And so Abigail meets him. She's the voice of reason. And this is what the Holy Spirit will do to us as well. Verse 20, "And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall.'" He is still angry. And there's Abigail. By the way, what a brave woman. Would you say amen? I mean, there she is. She's meeting David. She knows he's riding with 400 men to wipe out Nabal's estate. And she goes and she meets him. And he's still angry. I mean, the gifts have been given. Remember, she sent the gifts ahead of her. So the gifts arrive, but David's still angry. I was reminded as I read this in the book of Isaiah, of Isaiah 1:18, where the Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." You know, it's a wonderful thing that we have a God who will reason with us. Who will talk. Listen, when you're angry, when you're getting out of sorts, you need to talk to the Lord. It'd be much better to take that anger and to divert that and place it upon the Lord. And talk to Him about it. And tell Him why you're angry. And tell Him why you don't think it's fair, or you don't think it's right, or what this person did or that person did. Because the Holy Spirit will come and begin to minister to you and speak with you and calm you down. David's still not calmed down here. He's still angry. But the voice of reason now is there. Abigail trying to smooth things over. "And when Abigail," verse 23, "saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground." Wow, she just bows herself before David there. And she begins to reason with him. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send." She says, "Listen, my husband Nabal, he's a fool. He's a fool. Don't do what you're going to do." In fact, she says, "Let the iniquity, let it fall upon me," she says. She uses the word regard here. Consider the source. Consider where this is coming from. Consider who Nabal is. Consider, really probably trying to get David, think about the men that your men met out in the field and how well they got along. Don't let this Nabal, this one man and his attitude and his actions and what he said and did to you, don't let him control you. And that, by the way, is what anger does. It controls us. Because it's a work of our flesh. And the flesh always wants to control the spirit. Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal." In other words, don't be like them. Don't be like him. She's saying, you're doing exactly and you're behaving exactly like Nabal's behaving. And when someone or something gets us upset, or someone gets us upset, And we want to strike back because that's what David wanted to do. And we want to, and because of our anger, we want to do whatever we can to feel some type of a gratification that we have not allowed them to speak to us in the wrong way or think of us in the wrong way or cause some action against us in the wrong way. And if it's not us, we're almost hoping, well, I hope that this happens to them or that happens to them. Well, then you've become just like them. And David is being told by Abigail, don't lower yourself to become like that. Live above that. Verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. You notice what Abigail's beginning to do? She's reminding David of his relationship with the Lord. She's reminding David that his attitude and his actions are not just about David and Nabal, but his actions reflect upon who David's Lord is. And your actions and my actions, they reflect upon who our Lord and Savior is. Amen? So we need to remember that. I was telling my daughter yesterday, this is a silly thing. This happened to me sometime this past year. I went over to the Big Y shopping, to Big Y to do some shopping, pick up a few things. You know, if you've ever been in Big Y, they have this rack in the back where you can buy bread at like 50% off, and they have these another shelf with these other products. And so they had the Keurig coffee cups, and there was a label there, and it said 50% off. So I got to the counter with these two boxes of Keurig coffee cups. They weren't Keurig, they're some other make. And they weren't going to give me the 50% off. Now, the boxes were a whole $4.99 each. But it said 50% off. And I was just not having a good day that day. And I said, it said 50% off. Well, I'm sorry. And we went back and forth. In fact, I even walked to the back of the store with one of the ladies. On the way back, thinking, boy, I'm really making a fool out of myself right here. And we talked over. I said, fine, I'll take him. It was bad. It was all like for about the two boxes, so it was over $4.99. But they were right. I was wrong. That's the principle. The next day I went back to Big Y and I found everybody in the store that I talked with and I told them I was sorry. I said, I don't know what got into me yesterday, but I'm sorry. That's all right. One of the girls said, we hear far worse. They said like that. But I was. Abigail comes along and she's just trying to calm David down. This Holy Spirit comes along. He's just trying to calm us down. Calm down. Don't be like Nabal, she says. No, I don't want you to leave the wrong impression. I didn't start yelling and screaming at people over the coffee, but anyhow. And I didn't draw my sword either, so. It's my coffee cup. And so she begins to remind David of his relationship with the Lord. The Lord fighteth the battles. Or she says, my Lord, meaning David, you fight the battles for the Lord. You love the Lord. This is going to reflect upon you. And then back to verse 29 where we started. Yet a man has risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Listen, you're in God's hands, God's protection. And then she says this, listen, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Like, you let God deal with that. You let God deal with the problem. And it shall come to pass, verse 30, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. In other words, she said, listen, David, one day you're going to be the king. And the last thing you want is this stain on your record. For me personally, in the incident that I just gave you, it wasn't just that I gave them a hard time. But the reality is, I'm a pastor. And even if I wasn't a pastor, I would hope my testimony as a Christian would be well known enough that people, the last thing I wanted them to think was this, boy, that fella, he claims to be a Christian and look how he acted. Well, sometimes as Christians, we do act that way. We do say things that we shouldn't say. We do let our anger get the best of us. But then we have to make it right. And so here's Abigail calming him down. You don't want to live with this for the rest of your life. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, now here's the voice of rejoicing. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine hand. He'd be, oh, thank you for calming me down, Abigail. Thank you for preventing me from going and doing something which I would have been sorry for. Verse 34, for in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. I would have killed them all, she said. He said, every one of them. And so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted thy person. And Abigail had a tremendous influence upon David. And that's the desire of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, to influence us, to have an influence over us. We quench the Spirit, don't we? Amen? We do. We quench the Spirit of God often. We're even in those moments when it might not be a rage like David's in, but we're in those moments when maybe it's our own children, maybe it's our wife, maybe it's our husband, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's something, but we know we're upset. We know we're miffed. And we can sense the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God trying to calm us down. But there's that battle that takes place between the flesh and between the spirit. And that's the crossroads. That's the battle line. It's drawn right there. Who are we going to submit to? Are we going to allow the grace of God to give us victory in that area, or are we going to allow our flesh to just consume us? And David is so glad. He is so glad that he didn't do what he was going to do. And I remember our evangelist, Brother Fielder, was here one time, and he said this in a message. It's just a simple statement. He said, once you said it, you can't take it back. Once it's come out of your lips, you can't take it back. Now, you can say you're sorry for it, and you can apologize, but you've said it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, how much better, isn't it, when we want to say something, and then the Spirit of God just stops us, and we don't have deal with that. Well, that's the voice of rejoicing that we find in David, and that was the voice of reckoning. Verse 36, and Abigail came to Nabal, and beheld, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. I mean, this guy had more than, he's like the fella in the New Testament that Jesus talked about who had barns, and he said, I'll just build bigger barns and just keep accumulating. Well, he had more than enough. He could have given some away to David. And the Bible says, there he is. He's just having a feast, like a king. and his heart was merry within him. He was drunken. Less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became a stone. He probably had a stroke. And Nabal's day of reckoning had come. Nabal was no longer going to be churlish and evil. Nabal was no longer going to be rude. In many ways, as David honored King Saul, God was going to have to deal with King Saul. God was going to have to remove King Saul from the throne before David took the throne. Because he was not going to do evil against God's anointed. David is God's anointed. And Nabal treated God's anointed David poorly. And so the day or the voice of reckoning has come. And when David heard that Nabal, verse 39, was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil." Well, I'm glad that God took care of this. Remember what verse 29 said? That David, "He shall be bound in a bundle of life with the Lord thy God, but the souls of thine enemies, them shall he, God, sling out." Well, God is slinging out David's enemy, Nabal. God's taking care of it. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And then after that, in the book of Romans, the Bible says this, that "vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." God will take care of that. God will deal with that. It's not for you and I to deal with that. And so, the Bible tells us with regards to Nabal, that I'll read again in verse 39. David heard that Nabal was dead. He said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." Listen, whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. Amen? And Nabal's reaping what he had sowed. And when the servants of David were come to, or David sent and communed at the end of verse 39 with Abigail to take her to him to wife. David wants to make her his wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent unto us to take thee to him wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. It seems as if not only did David take care, or God take care of David's enemies, but God released Abigail from a really bad situation. And she becomes David's wife. And so in your and my life and in my life, that's how God works. God will deal with that. God will deal with the issue. God will deal with the problem that's causing the anger. Inquire of the Lord. Be careful that you just don't strike out and get so angry and so upset that you say something to your husband or say something to your wife or you say things to your children that you wish you had never said to them. And even when you apologize, listen, I'm just being transparent. I've raised 8 kids. There's been things I've said that I wish I had never said to my kids. But I've said them. And at times I've apologized for them. But you've already said them. It'd been much better if I had just allowed the Holy Spirit of God to control me better in that area.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.